Missy with a welcoming smile. What would you like to drink? I'll take a glass of Chardonnay, she says, and then motions her hand my way. You remember Eden Goodnight, don't you, Carmen? I immediately recognized Carmen Bakerton as one of my classmates from high school. She was always a lush beauty with dark hair and golden brown skin, and she hasn't changed much. I smile at her brightly. Hey, Carmen, you're looking gorgeous as ever. I expect her to smile and graciously accept my compliment because it was given freely and truthfully. She's stunning. Instead, she just snorts and cocks an eyebrow at me. What do you want to drink? I stammer, completely taken aback. Same as Missy. Carmen turns to Missy, gives her a perky smile, and says, Be right back with your drinks, and I'll take your order. When she leaves, Missy's gaze cuts to mine, and I can see she's not astonished over Carmen's rudeness and knows something I don't. What's going on? I start to ask Missy, but we're interrupted by another female voice. I'd heard you came back to town. I turn and look up to see Ashley Barton glaring at me with her arms folded defensively over her chest. We went to high school together as well, and she's flanked on either side by two women I also graduated with, Simone Kane and Carrie Hardison. All three women look like they've just smelled shit on their shoes from the way they're looking at me. Hello, Ashley, I say softly, not knowing what else to say. I have no clue what's going on, and I'm rattled by the hostility from so many people. Of course, Ashley says snidely as she tilts her head to look at Simone. I'm sure she's hiding out after that humiliating beatdown in the media from her ex-fiancé. Talk about embarrassing. Simone laughs raucously, as does Carrie. Ashley then turns back to me, her eyes glittering with malice. Seriously, Eden, you couldn't keep a man like Brad Wright interested in you? That's just pathetic. What the hell? I say, now starting to get pissed. Even Missy snaps at Ashley. That's completely rude. Ashley ignores both of us, leaning down toward me. How do you even have the nerve to show your face in this town? What? I ask, stunned by the menace in her voice, but my attention is diverted by someone walking up behind Ashley. Coop. You're a bitch, Eden. Ashley practically yells at me, her face so close to mine that I can smell alcohol. A selfish, egotistical bitch, and not one person in this town likes you. Get a clue and get out, because we don't want you around. Her words are so hateful, so impactful, I can't sit still while she hovers over me. I shoot up from the booth, causing Ashley to stumble back in surprise. I glance at Coop briefly and see his eyebrows furrowed as he looks back at me. I turn to Ashley. What the fuck is wrong with you people? And to Simone, I say, What the hell did I ever do to deserve the treatment I've been getting? My glance goes to Coop, but I don't address him. I look at Missy. Were you just pretending to be my friend? Missy looks at me horrified and shakes her head. No, Eden, not at all. I hold up my hand. Just don't. Missy snaps her mouth shut, but she looks completely distressed. She can't be as distressed as me, though. My nose stings and my eyes water, and I don't recall feeling this hurt in a very long time. Not even when I found out that Brad was banging Liliana. I don't need this shit, I mutter as I grab my purse. I put my head down so no one can see my face and push in between Ashley and Carrie. Coop actually steps to the side to let me pass, but his hand reaches out to me. Let the bitch go, baby, I hear Ashley say, and Coop's hand falls away. Which is good. I'd probably have gone apeshit on him if he'd touched me the way I'm feeling right now. It was a punch to my gut for her to call him baby, and I can't even think of them together for some reason. I break into a trot and run for the door. From there, I'll run to my car. From there, I'll run to Goodnight House and pack up my shit that's left in the hallway. From there, I'll run to the airport. And from there, I'll run some more.
Chapter 8. Pancakes will cure anything. Coop. I watch Eden run out the door of Tilly's and then whip around to Ashley. She's practically beaming with pride, her chest all puffed out as she winks at me. That was not fucking cool. I growl at her, and the smile slides off her face.
Come on, Coop, Ashley says in a small voice. Don't be that way with me. You know what she...
That was completely uncalled for, I snap at her. You need to grow the fuck up, Ash.
But baby...
She whines, and it makes my skin crawl. I ignore her and turn for the door, letting my long legs eat up the distance between Eden and me. As soon as I exit Tilly's, I see her across the street getting into her rental car. Eden! I call out to her. Her head whips my way, and because it's still light out, I can clearly see the tears in her eyes. It makes my chest constrict painfully, but she doesn't even stop. She jumps into the car, turns it on, and jets out of her parking spot. Christ, I mutter, and turn in the opposite direction, running for my truck, which is parked 2 blocks down. I cannot believe fucking Ashley said that shit to Eden. I get she's jealous, and I get that a lot of people in this town feel like Eden's a rotten person, but Jesus, let it the fuck go. I know I have, and any hard feelings I've got for her stem from the failure of our relationship, not from the person she's grown into. In fact, I feel sort of sad that she is the way she is, because while Ashley may have been rude, she was very much right about Eden. Everyone in this town has seen it firsthand, and no one can deny she's self-centered and selfish. Which makes me wonder why in the fuck I'm even chasing her back to Goodnight House. I could have stayed at Tilly's, gotten drunk with Clay, and then fucked Ashley afterward. It would have been a typical Friday night for me. The trip from Town Center in Newberry to Goodnight House takes less than 10 minutes, and because I'm driving like a bat out of hell, I can see Eden's brake lights coming on in front of the house just as I'm turning into the driveway. By the time I pull my truck to a stop behind her car and jump out, she's unlocking the front door. I'm completely surprised when she spares the time to look over her shoulder at me as she's entering the house and yells, "Just stay the hell away from me, Coop. I'm packing up and I'll be out of here soon." She runs into the house. God damn it. I curse under my breath and run after her. The thought of her leaving is not setting well with me, and I have no fucking clue why, but I go with my instincts and hunt her down. She's flying up the staircase as I hit the front door, and I take the stairs two at a time. When she gets to the top and turns to the right for the master suite, she comes to a complete and sudden halt. So sudden I can't quite stop in time, and I barrel into her. My arms go around her waist as I push her forward, keeping her from flying into the wall. Eden grunts as if I knocked the wind out of her, but then immediately shakes herself out of my hold. I let her go, but she doesn't move. She just stares at the hall floor before finally mumbling, "What did you do? Did you throw the rest of my clothes out the window, too?" The hall floor is completely bare and cleaned up, and I could understand, given our joint tantrums today, why she'd think I'd throw her clothes out the window. Instead, I take her by the elbow and guide her into the master suite. I let her go when we reach the middle of the room, but continue walking to the closet. I open the door, sweep my hand to it, and watch as her gaze drifts that way. Her eyes widen as she surveys all of her clothes, hung neatly in the closet. She whirls around and sees the rose-colored comforter with cream flowers on the bed. She whips back to face me, and I almost laugh at the look of genuine confusion on her face. But sadly, this really isn't all that funny. "I don't understand." "You can have the master suite," I tell her. "I decided to be an adult. This was your house long before it was mine." Eden shakes her head. "No, it's okay. You should have stayed in here." Well, aren't we playing nice together? "No, I insist." "I'm leaving, Coop," she says firmly, and marches past me to the closet and pulls out her large suitcase. "This was stupid to come here." "Don't," I say, as I easily pull the suitcase away from her. "You're upset. Stay the night at least, and if you want to leave tomorrow, you can." I can tell she's conflicted. She doesn't grab the suitcase, but she doesn't accept my offer either. Her spine stays stiff and her eyes are guarded. Eden's voice is so very small, something I've never heard from her before, when she says,
I don't get it. Why does everyone hate me? Because I left Newbury and didn't come back?
My body jerks a little over the naivete of Eden's question. Surely she can understand people's feelings. Eden, after what you did, people are still pissed about that. I don't think that's going to be easily forgiven.
What I did?
She cries out in pure confusion, throwing her arms wide in exasperation.
I left Newbury. I became a famous actress. Why is that a crime?
Eden,
or is it because we broke up?
She asks in a voice so serious I know she thinks that's really a possibility.
Is the town mad at me because our relationship failed?
Eden,
because if so,
she says in a rush, anger tinging her voice,
that's fucked up. You and I ended things mutually.
I know, I agree, but
then what the hell did I supposedly do?
She pleads. And I get angry, too, over her refusal to accept responsibility for her selfishness. Because of what you did after the fire, I snap at her. Eden jerks backward and she blinks at me slowly. Her head tilts slightly and her tone is cautious.
The fire that killed your dad?
I roll my eyes. That's the one.
But I didn't even know,
she says quietly, her brows furrowed deep.
Not until Missy told me this afternoon.
Now that's not true, Eden, I admonish her, but not too harshly. There's something about her complete confusion that's throwing me off a little. She either clearly has forgotten what happened, she didn't know, which seems impossible to me, or she's just that damn good of an actress.
I have absolutely no idea what you're talking about, Coop.
She lifts her chin and stares me down.
I didn't know your dad died in a fire until today.
Eden, I say softly. The town council, which I sit on, wrote to you after. We requested money to help rebuild the part of the school that was destroyed and erect a memorial for my dad. It wasn't my idea, but I went along with it. I mean, we figured you were rich beyond measure and it would be a nice charitable donation you'd want to make, given you went to that school and knew my dad. Eden started shaking her head in denial at about the time I said we requested money from her.
I didn't get any request from the town council here.
And fuck if she doesn't sound completely adamant. But you sent money, I point out, $500 to be exact. Eden gasps and looks completely offended.
If I knew you needed to rebuild the school and put up a memorial to your dad, a man who I greatly admired and cared for, you can bet I would have sent a fuck of a lot more money than $500.
And it hits me all at once. She's telling the honest-to-God's truth. That look on her face, her vehemence and offense over this. She has no clue what I'm talking about. Then who sent the money? I ask in bewilderment. Eden turns away from me, wrapping one arm around her stomach and bringing her opposite hand to her mouth to nibble on her fingernail. She always did that when she was thinking. She takes a few paces away from me, pauses, and then turns back, staring hard at the floor. Finally, her gaze comes up and her eyes are filled with misery.
I'm going to have to ask my business manager, Colleen. She manages the staff that screens my mail.
I don't even know what to say. There's been a lot of hard feelings for Eden floating around this town. When word got out that she donated only $500, it swept through the town like wildfire and she became a pariah. I had a hard time reconciling the sweet, caring Eden I'd known with the Eden that I believed basically thumbed her nose at our town's pain. And yeah, it was a little more personal to me, since it was my dad who died. I'm sorry, I tell her bluntly as I step forward and take her by the shoulders. I hate that people thought something about you that wasn't true.
You thought it too?
She says bitterly, turning her face away from me. I take her chin and turn it back so she meets my eyes. Yeah, I did, and I'm sorry for that as well. I should have given you the benefit of the doubt, but honestly, Eden, you were a stranger to me by then. She nods in understanding and swallows hard, pulling away from me. She tucks a lock of hair behind her ear before folding her arms protectively over her stomach. I get it. I'd think the same thing, too, about me if only $500 showed up after something so horrible. But, you know, I could donate money now. Maybe I could build a new school or something. I shake my head. Eden, it's fine. I'll set the record straight and you don't have to do anything else. A half-hearted smile graces her beautiful face, but it doesn't reach her eyes. She nods and drops her eyes again. Listen, I'm beat and I think I'm going to go to bed now. In the morning. Come on, I interrupt her. Let's go make some pancakes. Excuse me? She says as she blinks at me in surprise. Pancakes, I make a mean one, and I'm starved. You totally ruined my dinner at Tilly's tonight. I'm rewarded with the barest of smiles. That bolsters me, and I reach out to grab her hand so I can pull her toward the door. She resists slightly, but I'm determined. I tug on her harder, and she finally follows me. You know how to make pancakes? She asks timidly as we walk down the stairs. I don't let her hand go. Well, I've been single a long damn time since we broke up, I tell her. I wonder what the expression is on her face with that admission, but she's slightly behind me as we walk down and I don't look back at her. I had to learn to cook or I would starve. I almost stumble and miss the last step when she says, But Ashley, she called you baby at Tilly's. You reached out for me and she told you not to and you stopped. You're in a relationship with her. As soon as Eden's feet hit the foyer floor behind me, I spin on her and give her hand a squeeze. No, I'm not in a relationship with her. But she called you, I'm sleeping with her, but there's no relationship, I clarify. She has never stayed the night in my bed. Eden actually grimaces and tries to pull her hand out of mine. I hold tighter, squeeze again to keep her attention. You didn't think I would never have sex again, did you, Eden? 14 years is a long time to go without. No, I'm not thinking that at all. It's just... Ashley? Really? She was so shallow in high school. I chuckle and toss back at her. Brad Wright? Really? He's a total douche. She actually laughs, and the light hits her eyes. He is an absolute douche. We sure know how to pick 'em. That we do, I agree, then turn toward the kitchen, pulling her behind me. Let's eat pancakes and commiserate.
Chapter 9. Are those butterflies in my stomach? Eden. The kitchen in Goodnight House is my second favorite place, outside of the master suite. It sits at the back of the house and is overly spacious. When it was built, it included 2 large double doors on opposite sides that could be opened up on hot days to let the breeze go through. It's midsummer in Georgia now, and the luxury of central air conditioning had been added to this house years ago, so the doors are now shut. But on early spring evenings or late in the fall, my favorite thing to do was swing those doors open, sit at the large kitchen island, and just sip on coffee while I listen to the birds and crickets. When Coop and I were dating, he'd often come over after dinner and we'd sit out on the front porch and talk while watching the fireflies. Because my grandmother was hardly ever around, this often involved moving up to my bedroom, where we'd make out, or sometimes we'd just legitimately study. Regardless, we spent a lot of time together in this house. Coop busies himself at the long counter that holds the stove, putting the ingredients for the pancake batter into a large bowl. I pull out my phone and dial Colleen. She picks up on the second ring. Are you on your way back? She asks crisply, and I'm now more annoyed than I was just before I dialed the number. I'm coming back when I'm damn good and ready, I snap at her. But I know she's just doing her job and just being Colleen. I've paid her well over the years to be just like that. But Brad's people are demanding an immediate meeting to make sure there will be no hiccups when filming starts, she points out. I'm not sure I'm going to do the movie, I tell her honestly. That's definitely the way I'm leaning. Do you know how popular this movie is going to be? Colleen asks me in a deadly serious voice. It's his most popular action series, and with the press circulating about you two, it's going to set records at the box office. And prancing around in a bikini or in my panties and bra is really all I'll be doing, I say dryly. At that, Coop's head spins around and he gives me a cocked eyebrow. I smirk at him and tell Colleen, my role is minimal. They can easily find someone else. They don't want anyone else, she says firmly. Whatever, I mutter, not ready to fight about this. I have something more important. About 2 years ago, I was sent a letter from the town council of Newberry, Georgia. Their middle school had sustained fire damage, and they asked for me to help with rebuilding costs, as well as some money to erect for a memorial to honor someone that died saving the children there. You get requests for money all the time, she says. Daily, as a matter of fact. So you don't remember this one in particular, I press. Sorry, Eden, Colleen says. But I'll be glad to look it up. We keep records on all that stuff. Don't bother, I say softly, letting that offensive amount just hang in the air. I look up and find Coop has turned to face me, leaning back against the counter and whisking pancake batter. I know you sent a donation for $500. Yeah, $500. What's the issue? Colleen asks in confusion and a little bit of frustration to even be dealing with something that she believes to be trivial. I know she'd rather be pressuring me about the movie deal. I grit my teeth and try to maintain some level of calm. The issue is that this was my middle school I attended, and the request was from my hometown. I think I could have given a lot more than $500. This should have been brought to my attention. Eden, if I sent money to every single person who asked you, you'd have been bankrupt years ago. You can't help or save everyone. But I can sure as fuck prioritize them and help the ones that are important to me, I snarl at her. A very close friend of mine. His father died in that fire. I lost out on an opportunity to honor him because you didn't give it much thought at all. Coop's hand stills over the batter bowl and his eyes darken as he watches me. Her voice is soft and contrite, but she doesn't budge on her stance. You don't have time to review all that stuff, Eden. You're a business. You have to make movies. Your staff screens the mail because, as you know, you get hundreds of letters and emails a day. You have to rely on your staff to handle it. But that's just it. Y'all fucked up a very important request, and I'm now sitting here in Newberry amid a group of people who hate me because I've offended them through your actions. So you're in Newberry? Colleen latches onto my slip of the tongue. I could arrange a meeting with Brad's people there if that would suit you. No, it wouldn't fucking suit me. I snap at her, and I'm so livid over her lack of empathy toward me for her colossal screw-up, I disconnect the call and slam my phone down on the counter. Within 3 seconds, it's ringing, and I see Colleen's name. I'm pissed at you, I snarl into the phone when I connect the call. And I'm sorry you were let down, Colleen says, her voice filled with apology. Clearly, something important slipped through the cracks. I'll figure out a way to fix this so it doesn't happen again. Now, if you'll just tell me how much money you want me to send to make this right, I'll get it sent out immediately. I sigh, and my entire body deflates. No. I'm sorry I was shitty to you. I'm just upset about it, and you don't have to do anything else on this. You sure? She presses. I'm sure. Let's plan on talking tomorrow, okay? Sure thing, Eden, Colleen says, and she hangs up. When I place my phone on the counter, Coop sets down the batter bowl, turns to the cupboard just to his left and pulls out a bottle of bourbon along with two highball glasses. He doesn't say a word, but just saunters over to the island and pours each of us two fingers. He slides a glass over to me and picks his up. I follow suit, cocking an eyebrow at him for explanation.
"You need this," he says with a smirk. "Trust me on that."
"I'll still get pancakes, though, right?" I ask to make sure.
"You'll still get pancakes,"
he assures me, then taps the edge of his glass to mine.
"Welcome back to Newbury, Eden."
I sip the bourbon. He takes a slug and sets the glass back down on the counter before heading back to the batter he left near the stove. I watch as he cooks breakfast for dinner for us. And yes, I appreciate that Coop Mayfield has definitely filled out since we were together. His shoulders are broad and pull at the material of his t-shirt, and I have no doubt he's sporting an amazing abdomen. His triceps flex as he dips a ladle into the batter, then pours it onto the sizzling griddle. Age has treated him well. I'd have to say that at 32, he's the most gorgeous man I know, and I doubt anyone could take that title from him.
"So, you didn't sound happy to whomever you were just speaking to,"
Coop says as he stands over the pan, spatula poised and ready to flip when it's ready. "That was my business manager, Colleen O'Hearn. She's been with me ever since I moved over into acting."
"How long has that been?"
Coop asks, and it actually dismays me slightly he doesn't know. I guess he never looked backward at me. "About 8 years," I tell him. "I was getting too old for modeling, and frankly, I was getting burned out."
24 is too old for modeling,"
Coop blurts out as his head turns to me with surprise. Laughing, I nod. "Yeah, the industry isn't kind to aging, particularly in high fashion." He turns back to the pancakes and starts to flip them.
"How old were you when you did the Sports Illustrated cover?"
"That was one of my last modeling gigs," I tell him. "So, right around 24, I think."
"Well, you sure didn't look old then,"
he mutters as he flips a pancake. "You saw that issue?" I ask, curiously.
"Well, yeah,"
he says as he looks over his shoulder with a grin.
"There wasn't a man in Newbury that didn't get a copy, I think. And for the record, at 32, you could still grace the cover, in my humble opinion."
And just like that, my esteem reinflates, knowing that Coop has kept track of me somewhat, and that compliment right there tells me he still thinks I'm attractive. That's a nice feeling to have, especially when I've been questioning all the things that are wrong with me that could have caused Brad to cheat. I take another small sip of the bourbon and decide to ask something that's been on my mind heavily. "Coop, what happened with the fire and your dad?" Coop's shoulders droop a bit from a silent sigh, but he turns from the pancakes and looks me square in the eye and with no hesitation.
"He and I were working a crew over at the middle school, and he was around the back doing some trimming when he saw the smoke. Apparently, it started in the cafeteria kitchen and spread across the back of the entire building."
I blow out a distressed breath. There are classrooms on the back to the left of the cafeteria.
"He ran in,"
Coop continues, glances at the pancakes and then looks back to me.
"Hell, we all did once we realized what was going on, helping to usher the kids out until the fire department got there."
"You went in too," I whisper.
"Our entire crew did,"
Coop says with a wave of his spatula.
"And they're all good guys."
"What happened?" I ask, not wanting to know, but really needing to know. I had no clue Coop was there to witness this, and I'm horrified beyond the max to think of him being there. Coop turns away from me, and for a moment I think it might be too painful for him, but he merely reaches into a cupboard to pull out two plates.
He starts moving the cakes off the griddle as he talks.
Dad went back in one time too many. We were pretty sure we had everyone out, but the fire department wasn't there yet. He wanted to make sure.
Did you try to stop him? Coop shakes his head, turns off the burner, and brings the plates to the kitchen island. He'd previously set out utensils, butter, and syrup. He pushes a plate across to me and doesn't bother taking a seat, instead preferring to stand on the opposite side of me so we can maintain eye contact. He takes another slug of his bourbon, draining the glass with a hiss through his teeth, and then sets it down. He starts to put butter and syrup on his pancakes, then answers my question.
I didn't know he'd done it. I was on one side of the school, helping teachers wrangle kids and making sure they were at their designated spots. Dad was on the other side. But if I knew he was going in again, I would have stopped him. But you know him, Eden. Stubborn cuss. A hero to the end.
My heart feels so heavy with sorrow, I want to burst into tears. Coop Sr. was the nicest man, raised an amazing boy on his own who became my first love. For a clear moment, I have a wave of pure regret for ever leaving Coop and thereby not returning to Newberry after college. I would have been happy here with people I respected and cherished. Instead, I got swept up in the most bizarre lifestyle that both brought me incredible joy but also broke me on more than one occasion.
They say he was probably overwhelmed with smoke and got disoriented,
Coop continues, without me asking nosy questions.
Official cause of death was smoke inhalation.
It's hard to make sense of, I murmur, as I stare down at my pancake. An unfair waste of a good man. Coop gives me a smile that's both sad and accepting at the same time.
It wasn't a waste.
What?
There was a little boy he found who had gotten separated from his class,
Coop said softly.
He was unconscious but still alive. Dad got him out and went right back in, afraid there could be more. He never came back out.
My hand comes to my mouth and my eyes fill with tears. I suck in a breath and drop my hand. Oh, Coop, I'm just so sorry. I know how close you were to your dad. I feel even more wretched about what happened when the town council reached out to me. Coop stares at me for a moment, and I can't guess what emotion I'm watching form in his blue eyes. Finally, he gives me a smile as he pours syrup on his pancakes.
Hey, it's all water under the bridge. But I think you should stick around. You clearly needed an escape. You've got the master suite, and I'm working most of the time, so you'll have the place to yourself. You can get some rest and relaxation.
It's been forever since I took a vacation, I admit, wistfully. When I left L.A., it wasn't with the idea of having any me time. It was pure escapism. But Coop has a point. I've got some appearances scheduled that can be moved or canceled, but I'm seriously doubting I'm going to do this movie with Brad. I've got to talk to my attorney about it, though, to see what kind of hit I'll take. It's such a minor role and involves so few days on set that I doubt they can be too pissed if I back out. And then my next big movie starts the month after that with filming to take place in Europe. You know, I tell him as I forego butter and just stick with syrup. I drizzle it over my pancake and say, I think maybe I will stay for a few more days and just chill out. I could get lost in the master library and decompress.
Before you get too cozy,
he says as he cuts into his stack, scooping up a forkful.
Want to go fishing tomorrow?
Down at the creek, I ask as excitement courses through me.
I've maintained the trail even though no one but me uses it,
he says with a devilish smile.
I could use some downtime too. We'll pack a picnic. Make it a day thing.
I tilt my head and look at him with curiosity.
Just like that, we've slipped into easygoing conversation, and we're planning to spend time together tomorrow. I have no clue what this means, but I know it means something. If the butterflies in my stomach are any indication.
Chapter 10. It's just rebound sex. Coop. I pull a t-shirt over my head before I trot down the stairs. I'd chosen a pair of beat-up khaki shorts as well as my oldest pair of tennis shoes to hike down to the creek. I'm strangely excited to be going fishing with Eden today. I'm going to make breakfast for us first, then I'll put together a picnic lunch. I heard Eden's shower running just now, and I know she'll be down soon. She might be a famous actress and world-renowned model, but I know Eden. She won't be putting on makeup or airs to go fishing. I'll be getting the country girl today. Funny. For 14 years, I've not thought about her that much. I haven't seen her movies, and yes, I ogled the cover of Sports Illustrated, but that's because all the dudes in town were. I didn't stay up to speed on her famous life unless someone in town mentioned it to me, and I went on with my not-so-famous one. It isn't that we didn't love each other or that we didn't want it to work, but we were only 18 and our goals took us in two different directions, so it just wasn't workable. I stayed in school while Eden dropped out and traveled the world as a model. We really tried to make the long-distance thing work, but it wasn't long before it was clear that it wouldn't. Still didn't mean it didn't hurt on both sides, I'm sure. Just as I hit the landing, someone knocks on the front door. I don't even hesitate to reach out and open it, although I can't imagine who it could be. The smile brought on by excitement for the day slides right off my face when I see Ashley standing there. And she looks pissed.
"I deserve a better explanation than what you gave me last night,"
she demands with her arms crossed over her chest and her foot tapping 100 miles an hour on the wooden porch. I sigh heavily, because after Eden went to bed stuffed on pancakes, I did indeed call Ashley last night to end things between us. I thought I was pretty clear when we talked.
"You canceled our date we'd set for tonight," she snaps, "and when I asked you when we could reschedule, you said we couldn't."
I shove one hand into my pocket and hold the doorknob with my other, effectively communicating that there's no invite to come in. "Ashley, we talked for a long time last night. The first 15 minutes you were pissed, the second 15 minutes you were crying. But when we hung up after another 15 minutes, you told me you understood that our time together was over." This was all true. While I might have not 1 ounce of heartburn over cutting Ashley loose because I just wasn't invested in her emotionally, I knew that wasn't the case with her. Even though I'd been clear from the start about my feelings, I knew she cared about me, so I gave her whatever time she wanted to take to work it out on the phone. I was trying to be a decent guy. Granted, I could have gone to her house and told her face to face, but I'm not perfect.
"I don't get it,"
she whines as she uncrosses her arms. She reaches out, puts her hands on my hips.
"We're good together."
"In bed."
"Huh?"
she asks, dumbfounded. "We're good together in bed," I reiterate. "But that's all it was, and you know it. We've talked about this. I've not promised you one thing." The sound of footsteps coming down the stairs hits my ears, and I brace when I hear Eden call out,
"I cannot wait to get out there and start fishing."
Ashley's hands fall from my hips, and she steps to the side to look past my shoulder. I turn and look too, trying to make myself not slobber over how fucking good Eden looks coming down in clothes as ratty as mine, her wet hair in a ponytail and not an ounce of makeup on.
"Oh, I get it,"
Ashley snarls as she leans past me to lock eyes with Eden.
"You cut it off with me last night so you could fuck her, right?"
"That is not the reason," I start to say, but she's having none of it.
"Get a fucking clue, Coop,"
Ashley hisses as she turns back to face me.
"She's bad news. She doesn't want anything but to use you for a fun time while she's here because we all know how selfish she is. You're nothing more than a rebound to her."
"Now wait a minute," Eden says, coming to her own defense as she comes to a stop right behind me. But I need to tell Ashley something I didn't last night in an effort to keep things civil and spare her feelings. My voice booms, so I get her attention. For the record, I didn't break up with you last night so I could fuck Eden. Ashley blinks at me in stunned surprise, and I hear a choking sound from Eden behind me. But I don't dare look at her. So I give it straight to Ashley so she understands fully. I decided to call it quits with you the minute I heard the things you were saying to Eden at Tilly's. I don't care what you or this town thinks of her, but it was snide, petty, and juvenile, and about the least attractive thing I've ever seen a woman do. That's why I broke up with you. If I expected that to put Ashley in her place, I've already forgotten the spectacle she made of herself at Tilly's last night. She sucks in a lungful of air, points a finger at me, and says, "I'll have you know, Cooper Mayfield." I shut the door in her face. I do it softly, not a slam, and turn the deadbolt. Ashley shrieks on the other side and bangs her fist against the door. I lean back against it and close my eyes briefly as I let out a pent-up breath of agitation.
"This isn't the last of it,"
Ashley yells through the door, and then there's a loud thump, which I'm betting is a kick, followed by the sound of her storming off the porch. When I open my eyes, they lock with Eden's, which are sparkling with amusement. Her lips are tilted upward but are practically quivering to go higher. "Don't even laugh," I warn her. She makes a choking sound again, and then finally she just lets out a huge bark of a laugh, and she keeps laughing. I can't help it, my lips quirk upward too, and I chuckle over the whole nasty confrontation that just went down.
"Oh God, Coop,"
Eden says as she sucks in a breath through those full lips that are the sexiest thing about her.
"I cannot believe you seriously attached yourself to Ashley Barton. She was a hot mess in high school, and she hasn't changed much that I can see."
I push off the door and smirk at her. I have only two words to say to that. Brad, right. Eden's face goes slack. Her eyes sort of deaden, and her laugh goes silent. I realize I've made a terrible mistake to joke about this man who cheated on her. But then Eden snorts, her eyes crinkle before welling with tears, and she starts laughing even harder, her body bending at the waist as she holds her stomach. I start laughing again, too. Eden takes one step toward me at the same time I push off the door, and she places one hand on my chest, the other still holding her stomach as she continues to laugh.
"God, that was a shit show earlier this week with Brad,"
she wheezes as she pats my chest in a friendly manner.
"And it was broadcast for the entire world to see."
"Guess my issues with Ashley are kind of lame in comparison," I mutter with a smile. Eden shakes her head, wipes the tears from her eyes, and tries to get herself under control.
"Well, she did kick your door very violently."
"Still lame, I have to admit." I get a slight giggle, and then Eden's hand starts to drop from my chest. I'm not sure why my instinct is to grab it to hold it there, but that's exactly what I do. Her smile fades only slightly as she looks at me with curiosity. "That shit you just saw with Ashley?" I tell her, jerking my other thumb over my shoulder. "That really is nothing compared to what you went through. You were engaged, then cheated on, and then publicly humiliated."
"Well, gee,"
Eden says dryly, but I hear the humor in her voice.
"I'd almost forgotten all about that until you brought it back up."
I give her hand a squeeze. "I'm just saying, I know you're going through a shitty time, and I'm sorry." I can't explain how it feels right now to be standing so close to Eden, holding her hand against my chest. I can smell her citrusy-smelling shampoo, and her green eyes have never looked more beautiful up close. Add in the fact that I know Eden isn't the self-centered person this entire town believed her to be, and in this moment, I don't want to let her go. Eden's eyes cut away from mine, looking toward the door. I know I should release her, but I don't. I do, however, resist the urge to bring her in closer. Just a few more seconds of this, then we'll go fishing and all will be fine and dandy between us.
"What if,"
Eden says slowly as her gaze raises back up to mine. Her eyes are speculative, maybe with some mischief brewing in there.
You were a rebound.
You came here to have rebound sex with me? I ask, amused, with my eyebrow cocked high in disbelief. Eden shakes her head and smiles at me impishly.
No, that wasn't on my agenda, but Ashley did bring it up, and seeing as how you're single now, and I'm single now...
Her words trail off as I watch bright tinges of red color her cheeks. She drops her eyes, embarrassed, and mumbles, "Forget about it." I snake my hand around Eden's waist and jerk her to me, my hand squeezing hers tighter to my chest. Her body presses into mine, and she lets out a gasp of surprise. I look down at her, my eyes trying to discern what she really wants. Really needs. Eden, I say softly, my entire body tightening from the warmth of her against me. I know you didn't come here for that, but you brought it up. So tell me exactly what you want and why. She says nothing for a moment, but I can practically see her trying to work it out in her brain. I suspect her bringing up rebound sex was nothing more than a frivolous statement, brought about by us sharing some humor. I'm surprised when Eden pushes back from me so suddenly I'm forced to release my hold on her. She walks backward 3 steps until she comes up against the wall that borders the formal living room off the foyer. She never takes her eyes off me as she places her palms against the wall and leans back against it.
You and I have had sex before, and it was good, right?
She asks guardedly. At 18 and losing my virginity to the only girl I've ever loved, yeah, it was pretty fucking great. It was better than good.
But we were young, she continues, and only months together like that before I left.
Okay, I say slowly, not sure where she's going.
Well, it's been a long time. You've learned stuff, and I've learned stuff. We've broadened our horizons?
A sudden and not overly unwelcome image of Eden tied up on my bed, blindfolded and gagged while I fuck her from behind, assaults me, and I have to blink my eyes to chase it off. What's your point, Eden? I ask her, because I don't buy this whole we've both matured and learned stuff, let's get it on thing she's laying on me. She swallows hard, her cheeks pink up again, and she sort of mumbles,
I'm not sure I really learned all that much.
Pardon? Her face falls forward, her gaze goes to her feet, and she doesn't answer. Eden, tell me, I coax her. When she looks back up, she says,
Well, Brad was cheating on me. That in and of itself implies I wasn't giving him what he needed in bed. And then he's been going around saying exactly that, and that's why he was driven into the arms of another woman.
My brow furrows in complete disbelief and anger surges through me. He fucking said that. She nods and continues.
And, well, I've been stewing about that, obviously, obsessing about it, really. I'm 32 years old and I have no clue if I'm any good at sex, and then, well, Ashley mentioned rebound sex, and there's nothing wrong with rebound sex, right? I mean, if you have 2 consenting adults, and we know the boundaries, and we both like sex, and just so you know, Coop, I do like sex a lot, then there's nothing inherently wrong with it. More than that, though, you and I have history. Intimate history, where we once cared for each other very deeply. And I'll admit it, I still do care for you. That's really never gone away. So maybe you and I should... Well... have sex, so I can know if I'm bad or just stupid at picking a fiancé. At least that's my way of thinking, and, well, if you think this is just too weird given our history...
In one long stride, I'm on her. Over her. Pressing her tight into the wall with my hands holding her face. My mouth slams down on hers, and I'm rewarded with a long moan from Eden. My head spins as I'm thrown completely off balance by the fact that this is all so familiar, and yet it's very different at the same time. Eden and I grew up together, and she was the woman I told everything to. This woman right now is sophisticated and worldly, not someone I would ever see myself in the same league with. Yet her mouth is the same. That exquisite fucking tongue better than I remember. Those lips that excel not only at kissing but at sucking cock. God, Eden was so good at getting me off with that mouth. and just thinking of that causes lust to spear through me so powerfully my dick swells faster than it ever has in my life. Without thinking, I haul Eden up, moving my hands from her face to her ass. Her legs part, wrap around me, and squeeze as I grind my dick right into the soft center of her. Our mouths never stop their devouring path, and our breathing becomes harsh and uncontrolled. Christ, I want to pull her shorts down and slam my way home, fuck her right here up against the wall. But this is Eden, and she's unlike any other. She's everything I remembered, but exponentially sexier. Merely kissing her brings up a lot of emotions because our history changes things a bit. With regret, I pull my mouth away from hers, but still keep her pinned to the wall. Eden, please don't stop. She breathes into my mouth as she places hers against mine again. I indulge in one more deep kiss and pull away again. Eden, let's talk a moment. She focuses on me, the passion clearing slightly from her eyes. I swear my intent isn't to use you. I put a hand over her mouth to shut her up. I know it's not. It's just I want to make sure we know what this is going in. It's been a long time since we've known each other and, well, rebound sex isn't love and romance sex, it's just sex. Eden tilts her head and her eyebrows draw inward. I feel like you're preparing me for something here. I smile at her softly, dropping my forehead to hers for a moment. When I pull it up, I make sure she sees the truth in my eyes. Only that it's just sex. I'm sure really fucking fantastic sex, but let's not forget, your life isn't here in Newbury, and I'm never leaving, and well, frankly, I'm just not a relationship type of guy.
You used to be, she says on a whisper. Did I change that?
I don't know, I tell her truthfully. But there's been no one like you in my life since then, and I really don't want it either.
Well, the last thing I'm looking for is a relationship, she says seriously. I think I'm going to stay away from those for a while.
So it's rebound sex then? I ask, to confirm the deal we're making. She nods and sucks that full lower lip between her teeth. This is definitely not how I thought the day was going to go, but fuck if I'm not grateful for the sudden turnabout in our plans.
Chapter 11.
This is definitely different, I gasp as Coop drives up into me. We most certainly didn't do this when we were 18. We're in the middle of his bed, and I'm on my knees. He's on his knees, too, right behind me, with his stomach plastered to my back. He's got his arms wrapped around me, one hand tweaking my nipple and the other rubbing against my clit. I'm completely ruined and can do nothing but let him fuck me as my head lays back on his shoulder. This isn't how we started, but even that wasn't ordinary. Coop dragged me up the stairs and into the master suite after we set our boundaries. He left me for only a moment, going into the master bath to pull out a box of condoms from under the sink. I eyed them with a smirk. You know they're more convenient if you keep them in your nightstand? He grinned at me, pulled one out, and put the rest exactly where I suggested.
That's true. But I've never had a woman up to this bedroom, so I didn't need them in the nightstand.
Not even Ashley? I asked, curiously.
Not anyone,
is all I got before he was back on me again. He picked me up, threw me onto the soft bed, and came down on top of me. So, you just, what, go to their houses to have sex? I couldn't tell if it was true irritation or not that flashed through his eyes, but just moments before his mouth was on mine, he said,
No more talking, Eden, unless it's to tell me deeper or harder.
And oh, wow, just those words, and I was instantly soaked for him. Our clothes came off fast, and there wasn't a lot of foreplay. There was definitely rubbing and stroking, and I confirmed he was hard, and he confirmed I was wet. The kissing was insane, furious, and almost volatile.
The condom was needed very quickly. The surprise came when Coop flipped me onto my stomach, pulled me to my hands and knees, and drove into me from behind. He simply shattered me with the animalistic need he seemed to have to get inside of me, and I wasn't complaining one little bit. Both of us were turned on beyond measure, and it had been a long damn time since we'd been together. Although there was nothing debasing to me that our first time would be doggy style, that happens to be my absolute favorite position, I was surprised when Coop pulled me up and I was just on my knees. He couldn't drive into me as deeply, but the connection was more intimate. His mouth roves over my shoulder, up along my neck. The fingers tweaking my nipple alternate between biting pinches to his gently squeezing my breast. And that hand between my legs, he's igniting pure golden fire within me as he pushes and rubs while fucking me. This is definitely different. Coop is more commanding, knows exactly what he wants, and he takes it. His body is bigger, more muscled, and I feel completely possessed by him. There are no sweet words of love he used to whisper to me while he would rock me, staring into my eyes. This is balls slapping against my skin and wetness running down my thighs, and I'm so turned on. This is Coop groaning when he drives in hard, then grunting when I ask him to go harder. And oh, his dirty words? That is definitely different. Coop has definitely learned some stuff. I've had dirty talking men before. Brad was one of them, but he wasn't all that great at it. It was all focused on him, like, tell me, Eden, how much you love the way I fuck you. But Coop's words have the power to ignite climax, as evidenced by the one I had just a few minutes ago when he brought his mouth to my ear, bit my lobe, and growled, "You have the tightest, sweetest pussy I've ever fucked, Eden, and I can't wait to feel it trembling all around me when you come." And oh, man, did I come. Right then. Coop hissed, yes, as I cried out, bucked, and then indeed shook all over while he continued to thrust in and out of me. I feel another one building as well, and I've never had a second orgasm come on as fast before. Coop's fingers strum between my legs, sometimes pushing hard on my clit so I can feel his dick slide against it from inside, causing my pleasure center to draw inward and tighten. The second one is going to blow even harder. I can just tell. "God damn, you feel good, Eden," Coop grunts as he pushes me forward. My hands go out and land on the mattress, and Coop takes me by the hips. He slams in deep, hits that sweet spot inside of me, and I splinter apart. My back arches, and I toss my head back, my long hair probably slapping Coop in the face. I don't care because I'm completely overwhelmed as my body shudders its release while Coop pounds into me. "So fucking good," Coop punctuates with a thrust timed to each word. He drives in one last time, goes absolutely still, and then lets out a long groan of pure male satisfaction as he comes. My body trembles as he starts moving again. Lazy, gentle, small strokes inside of me, causing little bursts of pleasure. His body comes down on my back, heavy, pressing me into the mattress. His cock still works inside of me as he grinds in circles against my ass, and with one last hard push against me, he finally collapses, rolling us to our sides. Coop's arms slide around me, pulling me back into him. His chin comes to my shoulder, and he asks,
"So, how was rebound sex?"
"Man, was it good," I tell him as I bring my arms to rest over his. I laugh and ask, "We didn't discuss this, but it wasn't going to be just this one time, was it?"
"Well, my lovely Eden," Coop drawls, "I certainly had no doubts, but since you did because of what your ex-douche said, let me put your mind at ease.
I can unequivocally say you are fucking fantastic in the sack, and Brad Wright is a complete and utter moron for letting you get away. He can't see my face, but my smile is so huge it's